You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church, along with my associate, Pastor Darren Solana. We greet you here today. God bless you. Thanks for joining us here today on this Wednesday. It's hump day already, Wednesday. That means we are having church tonight. We would love to see you here for our Wednesday night Bible study. We're going to be wrapping up the book of Galatians tonight, 6 o'clock. So if you guys are tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast, you still have 30 minutes to make it to Island tonight. We would love to see you. 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. It's a much more informal service than a Sunday morning is. You are invited. We would love to see you. You can join us online as well on the Island Community Church Facebook page. That'll turn on live right at 6 o'clock. We would love to see you here on the radio today and tomorrow. This will be my sermon from Sunday. I hope you guys enjoyed the last 3 days' programs. I call that the super duper. We're looking at the false prophet that aired Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. If you missed those, I encourage you to download those programs. It's available on demand if you go to the on demand at the radio station, WMIEFM.com, or if you have the app for WMIE or WWBC, download those programs. The super duper, duper as the saying, I've been duped. And this false prophet is the super duper. No one's going to dupe people more than this guy. And I encourage you, listen to those programs. And here today, this will be the sermon which I just preached on Sunday, and I've entitled it, Have You Died Yet? Because in Romans chapter 6, he's going to say, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? He's assuming that you have died. And have you? He's assuming that we have. So how can I, who am alive, how can I die? Have I died? Where do I die? Is there a place that that happens? The answer to that is yes. You're going to hear the answer right here now in today's sermon. This will wrap up on Thursday. Here is part one of this message now. Have you died yet? Have you died yet? That's the name of this sermon. Now, we left off in Romans chapter 6. That's where we're at. We left off in the top of the chapter where the Apostle Paul makes the hard-to-understand comment that us living people have already died. So how can that be? How can I die without dying? Or how have I died, seeing, hello, I'm still alive? This is where we're starting here today. Also, he's going to talk about slaves and being a slave. We'll get to that here coming up as well. Let's pray before we get started. Lord God Almighty, we praise you in this your house here today. Speak the truth to us. You promise that everyone who is of the truth hears your voice. So we tune into your frequency here now. Indeed, this is the true WGOD. It's you. We listen for your voice. Speak to us through your word. Open our eyes to the truth and help us to be doers of everything that we hear. Instruct us now today, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Now let's address the first question I posed. How can I die without physically dying? Answer, you die symbolically. Certainly not literally.
I don't carry a Smith and Wesson into the baptismal. However, as you die symbolically, something happens to you literally. Now, with that in mind, let's see how all this transpires here. Romans chapter 6, if everyone's got a Bible. If not, these verses are in the handout. Most of them are. Romans chapter 6, let's pick it up here in verse 1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Or we could say, shall we continue to sin to make God look good, since His grace is greater than all my sins? Like the song we sung last week, remember, with the ukulele or whatever instrument that was? Grace that is greater than all my sins. So he's building on that. The Holy Spirit anticipates that question there. Well, since His grace is so great, should I continue to live like I did before? That's what the Holy Spirit anticipates, that question. This is the launching point for what he says next. Now that I'm a Christian, now that I'm a Christ follower, should I continue to live like I used to before I became a Christian? Great question, right? I mean, what's the difference regarding how I live? What's the difference? Answer, verse 2, certainly not. King James Version says, God forbid. How shall we who died live any longer in it? So his answer to that is, God forbid. Are you kidding? Have you forgotten all that transpired to place you into a right standing with God where you are now? The very Son of God just died, shed His own blood and His life to reconcile you back to Him and to save you from hellfire. Then in verse 2, he assumes that they've died. He says, how shall we who died? So he's assuming you've done that. He's assuming you've died. He's assuming you who sit here alive today have died. Now in verse 3, he's going to explain what he meant by that. He says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into His death. All right, here's the death. When I ask, when we look at the question, have you died yet? Here's what he's referring to. He's associating you getting baptized with dying. Dying to your former way of living. That's what he's referring to here. Let me explain this. To be baptized means to be associated with something or associated with someone. Like when the Lord Jesus made the comment to two of his disciples, Mark chapter 10, verse 35, it says, then James and John, they came to Jesus, said to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do? They said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and one on your left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, yep, we're able. Fools, right? Watch out what you agree to. Yep, we're able. So Jesus said, indeed, you will drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism that I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left, that's not mine to give. But it's for those to whom it is prepared. So no one understand to be baptized into something means to be associated with something or with someone. As also, drink the cup means the same thing. Are you able to drink this cup that I drink? This is the first time I've ever seen this. That phrase, drink the cup and baptized into something, he's referring to the same thing. Are you able to drink my cup? That cup associated him with something. With what? Yours and my death. our death. Drink the cup. Verse 3 again, and catch the phrase. He uses it twice. He says, baptized into. Baptized into. Baptized into. Not just down in the water, but baptized into something. Do you not know, again, this is verse 3. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? So there's two things. You're baptized into Christ, and you're baptized into his death. You're associated with it. That's what the word means, baptized into. You're associated into it. Verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Now, catch the outcome and the end result. And look at how important this is. Look at what he says next. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So when you get baptized in some spectacular, special way, you actually participate in your very own death and resurrection. And this is the cup that you drink, Mr. and Mrs. Christian. Now, from here, I want to use an easier translation here, starting here in verse 5. For if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. So, death and resurrection, both pictured here, for you and for your Lord. Okay? They're both right there in that verse. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him. Well, that's in Galatians 2:20, right? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. For you know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. Another translation says destroyed. Another translation says so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered inoperative. It's like you're pulling the plug on sin. Then it says, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now that's your standing, BC, or WC, without Christ. Slaves. Without the Son of God transforming you and giving you a new nature, you are a slave. You're a slave to sin. Because without Jesus, you've got no power to change. And you certainly don't have the power to change your own nature as well without him. So you're a slave. You're a slave without Jesus intervening in your life. A slave of sin until he invades your world and rescues you. That's why it says, and you he made alive who were dead. D-E-A-D. Dead. Down on a swimming pool. Dead. You he made alive who were dead. He needs to invade our world here. Save us from this. You've got no power to change. And you're a slave of sin. Without Jesus, you have no desire to change. Without Jesus, well, perish the thought. Without Jesus? You know, I looked up the year for this song. It's an old Bob Dylan song. It's from 1979. It's called Serve Somebody. It says, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Now, let me inform you this morning that regarding serving somebody, you've got two choices. And surprisingly, the devil is not one of those two choices, because there's no deception in that. There's no deception in that. You can either serve number one, you can either serve the Lord. out of gratitude for all that he's done in your life. I mean, look at your life now compared to who you used to be. You can choose to spend your life now as an instrument of righteousness. And you serve the Lord because of who he is. Do you need any other reason than that? Who Jesus is? Look what he's done in your life. How grateful are you? So you can either serve the Lord, or number two, you can serve yourself. You can serve yourself. You see, when you serve yourself, you play right into the devil's hands because he's got you right where he wants you if you serve yourself. You don't even need an option three. You don't even need it. Because when you serve yourself, you'll do anything to save your own skin. One day, Satan himself made a very interesting, truthful comment to God. I've noticed when he talks to God, he never lies. Why lie when you're talking to God? Don't waste your time. He'll only lie when he talks to us. And he said to God one day, talking about Job, speaking about skin, he said skin for skin. All that a man has, he will give for his life. You serve the Lord or you serve yourself. But don't be deceived. If you serve yourself, you really are serving the devil. You'll never stand serving yourself. All right, now let's move down here to verse 7. More on that as we move along. Back to his analogy of dying, to being associated with the Lord's death and resurrection through baptism. And having your own cup to drink. Verse 7, it says, because anyone who has died, do I got to go back here and say it and look back here in this tank? Anybody who has died, and he shows you right here where this transpires. He says, anyone who has died has been set free from sin. What a profound statement that is. Anyone who has died and anyone who drinks their cup, and all his cup was dying for our sins. 3 hours of darkness. He was looking at that in Sunday school. Look at his cup. Your cup is, you're just going to associate with him in his death. You're going to get back here in this tank when we got baptisms coming up. That family back there, we got four going to get baptized. I'm going to ask you guys the question when you're back here where Jesus says, whoever confesses me before men, him or her, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. That's how we do baptisms here. You're associating yourself with him. In his death, down you go, and whoop, in his resurrection, up you go. Now, something happens that I can't explain to you. It's a mystery that something transpires to your soul when you do that. I can't explain it. We could spend the last half an hour and I could have everyone that's been baptized here in this church come up and give a testimony. And I bet you'd hear a testimony from the people that have been baptized somewhere else, how something's happened. He's trying to show you some of these. Anyone who has died has been set free from sin. That's where you die. That is where that transpires. I love this quote that I read the day I was ordained 25 years ago, next week. A couple weeks, November 26th, the year 2000. For whatever reason, I wrote this in my Bible. Had no idea why. This is written by a guy named Hippolytus. I call him Saint Hippopotamus. In the year 200 AD. Funny where people learn things, you know? Where do you learn from? Maybe your mother, your grandmother, Bible teachers. I mean, this cat learned from Polycarp, who learned from John. Ebenezer is one generation away. Look at the mindset of people one generation away from the apostles. Listen to what this guy wrote. He says, maybe someone will ask, why should I even get baptized? Or to use his proper vernacular, what does it conduce unto piety to be baptized? He says, in the first place, so that you may do what seems good to God. He's told you to get baptized, right? Whoever believes and is baptized, he said, shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. So there's one good reason. Jesus says, do it, as if we needed two. He goes on. For thus the prophet has sworn to us, amen, I say to you, unless you are born again with living water. Now, catch this guy's interpretation of John chapter 3. It's different than the ones that you'll read out here today, because this verse is poo-pooed and swept under the carpet big time today. But this was the understanding of someone that learned from the apostles. He says, unless one is born again with living water, into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. He continues, therefore, fly to the water, for this alone can extinguish the fire. He who will not come to the water still carries around with him the spirit of insanity, for the sake of which he will not come to the living water for his own salvation. That's from Hippolytus in the year 217 AD. Spirit of insanity? I've never heard that before. Why should I get baptized? Fly to the water. This alone can extinguish the fire. So let me ask, who's got more insight? Today's church or this guy back in the day? This guy learned from the originals. He was one generation removed. He who will not come to the water still carries around with him the spirit of insanity. All right, verse 8. Again, building on the premise that you're not carrying around this spirit of insanity with you anymore. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, so he's assuming you've done this. He's assuming you're dead, and you're dead, that's symbolically speaking. That's where that happens. So he's assuming you've done that. I mean, that's how you walk in newness of life, through dying to your old self, being raised again as a new creation. I mean, now, baptism doesn't save you, but if you don't do that, you're not going to walk in newness of life, because that comes through dying to your old self. Now, verse 8. If we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has dominion or mastery over him. The death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, verse 11, I think I'm in the old NIV here. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So that word count, or the word reckon, is the word logizo, where our word log comes from. Like captain's log, stardate 110925 would be today. What do you write there? I have died. Died to my former way of living. I am dead to sin, and now I'm alive to God. I've taken my cup. I have associated myself with the Son of God down there in that water. The Lord is moving in you guys and gals to get baptized. Come talk to me. We're going to have a service here coming up within a few weeks. Let the Lord lead you. Now I'm alive. Alive to God. How about you? Let God use you, church family. God wants you to be his hands and feet. He wants to work through you to help turn this evil, crooked world right side up. So write it down in your log. I am now dead to my former way of life, and I'm dead to the sin that used to control me, and now I am alive to God. When we get to chapter 12 in a few weeks, he's going to say this: I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. What an oxymoron that is. Isn't that an oxymoron? Isn't that right? You go to school, you tell me. Who's ever heard of a living sacrifice? They're always dead. Not when it comes to God. You're a living sacrifice. You present yourself. To present yourself, meaning, here I am. Use me. A living sacrifice that's still alive. He doesn't want a dead, crusty old sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. God has chosen to use you as his hands and feet here. Now let me move on here. Verse 12. We've got one more hour for you visitors. Call the ambulance. Therefore, do not let sin reign. There's that Greek word again for king. Basileus. Enthroned. On its throne. Don't let sin reign as king in your bodies so that you should obey it. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. Again, that is, here I am, Lord, send me. Offer yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, it says. Here I am, Lord. And offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Instrument. No, it's not like a tuba or a violin. The Greek word haplon actually means weapon. Weapon. A weapon of righteousness. Now you can get out your 44 Magnum, Rick. Not back there, but over here we can. It's a weapon. He says, your body is weaponized. It's weaponized to serve him. That is, you wake up tomorrow morning, you wake up in the morning and you say, what great thing can I do today to make a difference in this evil world that we live in? Instead of being a weapon for sin, be a weapon for God out here today.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.